Royalty in Ruins, Chapter 57, Nehemiah's Painful Work of Reformation. The people of Judah had pledged to obey the law of God, but when for a time they were without the influence of Ezra and Nehemiah, many departed from the Lord. Nehemiah had returned to Persia. During his absence from Jerusalem, evils crept in that threatened to pervert the nation. Idol worshippers contaminated even the sacred temple area. Through intermarriage, a friendship had developed between Eliashib, the high priest, and Tobiah, the Ammonite, Israel's bitter enemy. As a result of this unholy alliance, Tobiah occupied an apartment connected with the temple, which had been used as a storeroom for tithes and offerings. Because of the Ammonites' treachery toward Israel, God had declared that they were to be forever shut out from the congregation of his people. See Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 3 through 6. The high priest defied this, emptied out the offering stored in God's house, and made a place for this enemy of God and his truth. He could not have shown greater contempt for God. When Nehemiah returned from Persia, he took prompt action to expel the intruder. I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. Then I commanded them to cleanse the rooms, and I brought back into them the vessels of the house of God. The priest had profaned the temple and misapplied the offerings. This had discouraged the people's liberality. They did not give to keep the treasuries of the Lord's house full. Many of the temple workers who had not received sufficient support had left to work elsewhere. Nehemiah began at once to correct these abuses. This inspired the people with confidence, and all Judah brought the tithe of the grain and the new wine and the oil. Men who were considered faithful were made treasurers, and their task was to distribute to their brethren. Mingling with idol worshippers also led the people to disregard the Sabbath. Nehemiah found that the heathen merchants coming to Jerusalem had persuaded many Israelites to buy and sell on the Sabbath. Some could not be lured into sacrificing principle, but many dared to violate the Sabbath openly. In those days, Nehemiah wrote, I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves, and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods, and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah. The leaders had favored wrong. A desire to advance their own interest had led the rulers to favor the ungodly. What evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day? Nehemiah demanded sternly. Did not your fathers do thus? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. He then gave command to shut the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, and not open them again until the Sabbath was passed. The merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice, hoping to do business with the people. Nehemiah warned them, Why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. Now Nehemiah turned to the danger from intermarriage and association with idol worshippers. In those days, he wrote, I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod and could not speak the language of Judah. Some men who entered into unlawful marriages were rulers to whom the people had a right to look for counsel and example. Foreseeing the ruin that would come to the nation if this evil continued, Nehemiah pointed to the case of Solomon. Among all the nations there had never been a king like this man, yet idol-worshipping women had turned his heart from God, and his example had corrupted Israel. Should we then hear of your doing all this great evil? Nehemiah sternly demanded, transgressing against our God by marrying pagan women. Their consciences were awakened, and they began a work of reformation that brought God's approval and blessing. Some in sacred office protested that they could not bring themselves to separate from their heathen wives. But Nehemiah showed no respect for rank or position. Whoever refused to cut his connection with idol worshippers was immediately separated from the service of the Lord. A grandson of the high priest, who had married a daughter of the notorious Sanballat, was not only removed from office, he was banished from Israel. Constant struggle with opposing elements. Only the judgment will reveal how much anguish of soul this necessary severity cost the faithful worker for God. Advancement came only by fasting, humiliation, and prayer. Many who had married idol worshippers chose to go with them into exile and join the Samaritans. Some who had occupied high positions in the work of God went over fully to their side. The Samaritans promised to adopt the Jewish faith more completely, and the apostates determined to outdo their foreign brethren, constructed a temple on Mount Gerizim as a rival to the house of God at Jerusalem. Their religion continued to be a mixture of Judaism and heathenism, and their claim to be the people of God was the source of strife between the two nations from generation to generation. In the work of reform today, there is need of people like Ezra and Nehemiah who will not excuse sin, not remain silent when others do wrong, nor cover evil with a false kindness. Severity to a few may prove mercy to many. They will remember also that the one who rebukes evil should always reveal the Spirit of Christ. Ezra and Nehemiah confessed their sins and the sins of their people as if they themselves were the offenders. Patiently they worked and suffered. What made their work most difficult was the secret opposition of pretended friends who gave their influence to the service of evil. These traitors furnished the Lord's enemies with material to use in their warfare on his people. Their rebellious wills were always at war with God's requirements. Nehemiah's success shows what prayer, faith, and wise action will accomplish. Nehemiah was not a priest. He was not a prophet. He was a reformer. It was his aim to set his people right with God. As he came into contact with evil and opposition to right, he took a stand so firmly that the people could not help but recognize his loyalty, his patriotism, and his deep love for God. Seeing this, they were willing to follow where he led. An important part of true religion is being diligent in whatever God-appointed duty we may have. Decisive action at the right time will gain glorious triumphs, while delay and neglect result in failure and dishonor to God. If the leaders show no zeal, if they are indifferent, the church will be lazy and pleasure-loving. But if they are filled with a holy resolve to serve God and Him alone, the people will be united, hopeful, eager. The pages of God's word that describe the hatred, falsehood, and treachery of Sanballat and Tobiah also describe the devotion and self-sacrifice of Ezra and Nehemiah. We are left free to copy either, as we choose. Nehemiah's today lead out in Sabbath reformation. The work of reform carried on by Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah presents a picture of spiritual restoration in the closing days of this earth's history. Through the remnant of Israel, God determined to preserve a knowledge of himself in the earth. They were the guardians of true worship, the keepers of the Holy Scriptures. Strong was the opposition they had to meet, heavy the burdens the leaders bore. But these men moved forward, firmly relying on God and believing that he would cause his truth to triumph. Isaiah outlined the spiritual restoration that the work in Nehemiah's day symbolized. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12, NRSV. A breach has been made in God's law, the wall that he placed around his chosen ones for their protection. Obeying its principles of justice, truth, and purity is to be their perpetual safeguard. The prophet points out the specific work of this remnant people who built the wall. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interest on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 and 14, NRSV. In the time of the end, every divine institution is to be restored. The breach made in the law when mere mortals tried to change the Sabbath is going to be repaired. God's remnant people are to show that the law of God is the foundation of all enduring reform. In clear, distinct lines, they are to show how necessary it is to obey all of the Ten Commandments. Impelled by the love of Christ, they are to cooperate with him in building up the waste places. They are to be repairers of the breach, restorers of streets to live in.